Welcome to The Bible Says. My name is Aaron Rayleigh and I'm your host. This podcast is an expository study. Basically, we go through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, exploring the radical love of God and our calling to radically love others. So today we're reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. And I'm reading this in the ESV. This is a story where Jesus is going into the temple and he's freaking out on these guys that are selling and buying doves and sacrifices, and they're purchasing them to offer them rather than, you know, raising and growing their own sacrifices. They're just purchasing them and offering them to God as if it's of the same value. Now, obviously, we know that this sacrificial system is important to God. We see that all the way back in Genesis with Cain and Abel, how Cain and Abel get into this crazy feud, and God makes it really clear that he values some sacrifices and some he doesn't value if it's not of worth to the one sacrificing it. So Jesus comes into the temple. He prevents people from walking through the temple with these purchased sacrifices. He doesn't shut down the temple. He just stops the people who are buying them. And he overturns the tables of those who are selling, the money changers. And so he comes up, this is verse 17, and he says something that we're going to focus in on today. He says, "Do you not know the scripture that says, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." Today we're talking about the house of prayer. Just right off the bat, you've got to know that God's house is a house of prayer. He sets the tone and the rules for what his house will be like. I'll give an example. When I first met my mother-in-law, she asked me about, we were talking about football, and she's like, "Well, what's your team?" And I was like, "Well, I don't really watch NFL. I mean, I do now, but I didn't at the time when she asked us." But I said, "You know, I've always been a Clemson fan. I was raised in South Carolina, so I love Clemson. But as far as NFL, like, I'm, you know, there's not really many great options around where I'm from." She was like, "Well, in this house, you're a Steelers fan, because this house is a house of Steelers fans." And that stuck with me. And I wanted, and the reason I bring that up is because it was her house, so she made the rules. And I wanted to marry her daughter, so I'm a Steelers fan now. But Jesus, interestingly enough, brings up something that we are going to tie into other scriptures that he speaks about. But he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations." He didn't say God's house. He said, "My house." One, recognizing that he is God. Two, speaking to the house of God. Now, I want you to notice something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Passion Translation says it like this, and I really love it, the language here. It says, "Have you forgotten that your body is now referring to after salvation, your body is now the sacred temple or the house of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you. He dwells in you. Don't you know? Have you forgotten? Did you forget? Your body belongs to God. So he makes the rules. If God was a Steelers fan, we'd all have to be Steelers fans because he made the rules." But he says back in Mark 11, Jesus says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." I want to challenge you today. Would you ask yourself this question? If I had to write out the rules of my heart, meaning if I had to write out the things that govern and determine the way my heart functions, what it focuses on, what it looks to, what it shapes my body's actions around, if I had to write out those rules, would prayer be on the list? God says that his house shall be called, meaning not will be, not could be, not should be even, but shall be. It's a declarative word. My house shall be called a house of prayer. God's house will be, shall be, is a house of prayer. If God dwells within you, he's demanding of you that your house, his house, your heart, be a house of prayer. He doesn't ask you to pray. He tells you to pray. And there's something encouraging about that. I don't want you to hear the tone of my voice and think that I'm in any way expressing that God is this angry father that's demanding you to do things a certain way or else. Yes, he has rules, but God is a loving God. Can't forget that. We see in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, it says, "Now this is the confidence we have before him," him being God. "Now this is the confidence we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him for." God longs to hear from you. He loves hearing your voice. He loves when you have something to say to him. He loves when you turn your ear to hear him speak back. He loves the dialogue. He invites us into this relationship of prayer. And so when Jesus is flipping tables and becoming angry at this den of thieves, he's saying, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations." Yes, as a theologian would say, it's called righteous indignation. It's a big word for just righteous anger. He had the right to be angry. And so he expressed his frustration through anger. But have you ever loved something so much and desired something so much in a godly way, then when it's not being fulfilled, the passion within you drives your body to respond a certain way, either through tears or through laughter or through clenching your fists and gritting your teeth together, because of the emotion within you is so real and so large. I would suggest to you that this is what Jesus is experiencing, encountering in this moment, is that the Spirit of God within Jesus, Jesus himself being God, he's saying, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but look what you've done to it." And I would express to you the relationship that God has in this story with your own heart. Again, remember, your heart is the house of God. Your heart is the sacred temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives and dwells within you. If you are a believer, now your heart is the house of God. And he's begging with you with this passion, "Would you just pray to me? Would you speak with me? Would you hear from me? Whatever you ask according to my will, I will hear you and I will give to you and it shall be yours, because my house is a house of prayer." Now understand this, if God is saying that you shall pray to him, he is also saying, "I will hear you." If you shall pray, he's not saying pray to nothing. He's saying pray to me. I will hear you. So there's something else that we have to pull from the scripture that Jesus is passionately declaring to the Pharisees and those interchanging money and merchandise. He's also saying, "I have a heart to hear what you have to say. I desire to hear from you. I desire to hear your needs. I desire to hear that your job is going rough. I desire to hear that your kids are giving you grief. I desire to hear from you. I desire for you to ask things according to my will." So what's a disclaimer here? What's at the very at the foundation logically of what we must assume? If he says whatever you ask according to his will, he will hear. We have to know what his will is. In the house of God must be the will of God. So in your heart must be hidden the will of God. He desires you to know him. He desires you to know his will, so that when you pray within this house of prayer, you know the will of God. Why was it that Jesus was so angry at these people interchanging and purchasing sacrifices? Because they weren't doing it according to his will. They weren't sacrificing according to God's will. Why did the story of Cain and Abel not work out great? Because Cain didn't offer a sacrifice according to God's will. He offered a sacrifice of something menial, something that didn't have much value to him. So God desires from you the things of value, and he desires for you to know the will of how to give it to him. We very practically have the Bible to speak to the will of God. We have church, and I don't encourage you right now, if you're not plugged into a church, a local church, you need to be in church somewhere. Not because God demands it or else, you know, he's going to, you know, open up his wrath upon you for not showing up to church on Sunday. No, it's for you. Church is for you. His house should be called a house of prayers for all the nations. He desires us to experience the prayer. There's power in prayer for us. The prayer goes to God, but the other half of that sentence in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, when it says, whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The second part is, and if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we also know that we have what we've asked for. So the other half of prayer is that we receive. I want you to know, I want you to walk away from this podcast knowing that God desires to hear from you. He desires that you know his will, but he also desires to give you whatever you ask according to his will. It's his desire for you to live within the will of God, not to know it consciously or to know it in a scholarly way, but to know it as in you've experienced it. So there's a couple things that we must do. For, you know, in response to this scripture, we must respond to this. How could we read a passionate scripture that from Jesus's mouth saying that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? Your house, my house, your heart must be full of prayer for the nations. Some things we must do. One, we absolutely need to know Jesus, have a saving relationship with Jesus. Because your heart is not the house of God before salvation. That's 1 Corinthians 6:19. Have you forgotten that your body is now, not was before, is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? Now, after salvation, the Spirit of God lives within your heart. Your heart is now the dwelling place of God. God Almighty lives within your heart and desires to be there. When you buy a home, if you call it your home, you want to be there. Understand, God wants to be in your heart. He wants to be in his home. He wants to be home. So God desires to be there. So know that. The second thing is we have to listen to God when he speaks. Know that he is speaking. Know that he speaks through his word. He gives you the tools for your life, the foundation and the boundaries for a relationship with a living God. He gives us to you in his word. And you have to fill your heart with the will of God. That's simply a prayer. It's simply a prayer and reading your scripture, just saying, God, give me your will. What is your will? What is your will today? What should I do today? Who should I be today? How should I behave today? What should I know today? God, give me your will. Fill my heart with your will. And I encourage you to pray that today. And God promises to partner with us that when we pray anything according to his will, and let me tell you this right now, asking God what his will is his will. Ask him what his will is, and he will give it to you. Know that you are not giving yourself the answer to your prayers, but God is. God desires to live in your heart, to dwell in your heart, and to clear out your heart. We can pray, but only Jesus can clear out the junk. Only Jesus can come in and make the will of God happen within our hearts. Yes, it is God's desire to be in your heart. His desire is to have that his house would be a house of prayer for all the nations. And that means, logically, we have to assume that if he desires, one, to dwell within us, two, that our heart be a house of prayer, then we must understand that God wants to fulfill his will within our hearts. What is the will of God? The will of God is to know you and to be known by you. The will of God is to love you and to be loved by you. The will of God is to use you and to magnify his glory, to take you from his glory to the next level of his glory, to continue on this perpetual, ever-present creation of the universe within you in relationship with him. It's to invite you into a relationship with him, into the promises of God. God has a whole book full of promises that are waiting to be fulfilled in your life. The first thing you have to do is ask the Lord, God, make my heart your house of prayer. Make my heart the place where you desire to be. Make my heart the place where prayers are answered because the prayers that come from my heart are according to your will. And I promise you right now that if you start with that step, if you begin with whatever you ask according to his will within your heart, he will fulfill it because that's his ultimate desire for your life.